church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our Bulletin of Church News, that will be followed by Panorama, and then our Future of Culture and Society. Today we shall close with that segment dedicated to young people. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. The Pope's Twitter message on Thursday was taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And in his commentary, the Pope prayed, saying that today we ask for the grace of compassion and the capacity to share in the poverty of our brothers and sisters. The Holy Father's tweet was a direct observance of the United Nations International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, which since 1993 is observed on October 17th. The day promotes people's awareness of the need to eradicate poverty and destitution worldwide, particularly in developing countries. Participants at the ongoing Special Synod of Bishops on the Amazon on Thursday morning continued working in the small language groups. On Wednesday, the Synod's deliberations turned again to small language groups. Their work was presented to the Assembly on Thursday afternoon. Here is a report on the Thursday Synod briefing by Sean Lovett.
Those experiences all came directly from the Amazon region, thanks to the four guests on the panel. They included an indigenous educator from Guyana, an expert in indigenous spirituality, and a specialist in indigenous rights, both from Brazil. Miss Leah Rose Casimero coordinates a bilingual education program for Wachipan children in Guyana. In her presentation, she spoke of how education systems have been imposed on her people, along with everything else. The time has come, she said, to take our future into our own hands.
So we thought the Wapichan people, I'm Wapichan, and the Wapichan people, indigenous peoples of Guyana, we thought that maybe it's time that we take our future into our hands. And the first step we are taking is to create something better for our children in terms of education. So what we have done is to create our own materials that are suitable for our children in terms of things that they are familiar with, as well as the culture, the language, and taking into consideration our traditional knowledge as well. And our language. So our language is our main tool that we are using to teach. So it's not like being taught as a subject, but we're using it throughout. And this is what I bring to the Synod. Because the process that brought us this far for this particular project, this program, is the same thing that we are doing here with the Synod. It came about from a dialogue that took place with us, the indigenous people, with the different churches, with the Jesuits, with the Ministry of Education, and with other consultants. So in dialogue together, we came up with this idea. So I think this is something that the Synod is all about. When we respect one another as partners, when we share, we speak, and we are listened to. Because more than often, we speak as indigenous people, but not very often we are listened to.
Ms. Patricia Gualinga is an indigenous leader of the Kichwa community in Sarayaku, Ecuador. In her intervention, she called for an institutional commitment to save the Amazon. The church is present in the region, she said, but needs to be even closer to the indigenous people. Ms. Gualinga, who has herself received death threats, said indigenous people are in the forefront and risk being persecuted and killed.
Un compromiso institucional para salvar la Amazonía.
Dr. Felicio de Harao Pontes Jr. is a specialist in indigenous rights who works in Brazil. He described how he provides legal protection to indigenous people living in the forests or along the rivers of the Amazon, especially when they come into conflict with development models that are imposed on the region. Father Justino Sarmento Resende is an expert in indigenous and inculturated pastoral spirituality. He spoke of giving value to traditions and cultures and invited journalists present to come to the Amazon and see for yourselves. Finally, Archbishop Roque Palosky of Porto Velho in Brazil quoted Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si when it addresses the dangers of allowing cultures to disappear. Never in history have a people been so threatened as the people of the Amazon are today, he said. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Sister Mary Agnes Mwangi is a Kenyan consolata missionary who has been working in the Amazon area for the last 19 years. She is taking part in the Amazon Synod, and on Thursday, she shared about her pastoral work and dialogue among the people of the Amazon region. On the sidelines of the Synod meetings, she spoke to us at Vatican Radio.
Yeah, I shared about my experience on dialogue as I lived with the indigenous people at the northern part of Brazil. Actually, these people live at the border of Brazil and Venezuela. And this presence was opened in 1965, right after the Concilio Vatican. And this Vatican II also opened a kind of a door for dialogue. Dialogue that extended to religions, big, great religions, but also opened to the, we call them minoria ethnica, the small ethnic groups. So as a consolata sister, I went there the year 2000. I learned the language, the Akasha, forming agents of health and those microscopists, those who work with the microscopes. And I then entered in this intercultural dialogue with the people, trying to come up with the method on how to live that as a part of an evangelization method. And I discovered in my charism, really to be a consolata sister is to be a woman of dialogue. And that opened a new horizon as a consolata missionary among these people.
The Holy Father on Thursday named Reverend Father Moses Chikwe as Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Owerri in Nigeria. The bishop-elect was, until his nomination, the Director of Education for the Owerri Archdiocese. Bishop-elect Chikwe was born on 4th April 1967 at Uzogba Ikeduru in the Archdiocese of Owerri. Following his priestly formation, he was on 6th July 1996 ordained to the priesthood for the Owerri Archdiocese. He holds a doctorate in education administration obtained from the University of California in Los Angeles in the United States of America. You are tuned to the Daily Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Guinea's government has confirmed that 9 people were killed during demonstrations this week against a possible change to the constitution to allow President Alpha Condé to run for a third term. On Wednesday, a coalition of opposition groups said that the police had killed 10 people since Monday. The coalition said that a further 70 protesters had been wounded by bullets and 200 people had been arrested. Mr. Condé, who is 81, took office in 2010 and his final 5-year term ends in 2020. African members of the Security Council tried unsuccessfully on Wednesday to appoint a joint African Union-United Nations envoy to Libya. South Africa, Ivory Coast and Equatorial Guinea were following up on decisions by the AU High-Level Committee on Libya held in July and the AU Peace and Security Council last month in New York, calling for a joint envoy. The move was an apparent attempt to replace current UN envoy to Libya, Ghassan Salame. Diplomats said the African nations raised the issue during closed-door consultations on Wednesday, but there was no support in the 15-member council. Libya has been in turmoil since the overthrow of longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta has rejected the country's latest budget, demanding that lawmakers remove a cap on commercial lending rates, the Business Daily newspaper reported. 3 years ago, the government limited rates banks can charge customers to 4 percentage points above the central bank's benchmark, currently at 9%, saying they were concerned about high rates. Parliament will meet in the next 2 weeks to consider the president's recommendations on the 2019-2020 budget bill, said the majority leader in parliament. On Wednesday, President Kenyatta opened a new $1.5 billion Chinese-built railway line linking the capital Nairobi to the Rift Valley town of Naivasha. Some 400 Ethiopian migrants serving prison sentences in Saudi Arabia have returned home. The returnees were welcomed at Bole International Airport in the capital Addis Ababa on Wednesday by an official from Ethiopia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. According to Ethiopia's Foreign Affairs Ministry, 32,890 Ethiopian migrants jailed in different countries have been returned in the past 3 months alone. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba.
My name is William Kachingwe, a Catholic priest in the Congregation of St. Michael the Archangel. Currently, I'm serving in the Shrine of St. Michael the Archangel in Puglia, in Monte Sant'Angelo.
Our guest today is Zambian-born Father William Mumba Kachingwe. He is not new on this program. Not too long ago, I hosted him after he managed to produce his maiden musical album. He was a seminarian then. In a very colorful ceremony, Father Kachingwe was ordained to the priesthood here in Italy just a couple of years ago. Over the years, it has become clearer that this young priest has a special gift in music. He recently produced another musical album of religious music through which he brings forth a number of themes. Mominwe Yove is the title of this latest CD. In this part one of my chat with him, we hear Father Kachingwe tell us about his transition from the seminarian to the ordained ministry and about the religious congregation that he joined in order to answer his calling to the priesthood, their charism, and the way forward as a religious priest. What is the main occupation of the priesthood there? You guys, what do you usually do?
Mainly we are involved in welcoming the pilgrims and serving as confessors and ministers of the Holy Sacraments.
How many would you estimate pilgrims do you receive on a daily basis?
I wouldn't manage to precisely say the number of pilgrims that we have, but usually in the month of September, October and December, we have many pilgrims with respect to the other months.
Why so?
I think it's because of the solemnity of St. Michael the Archangel and the other archangels, seeing that many people have this great devotion to St. Michael, and during the celebration of St. Michael on the solemnity 29th September, many pilgrims from all over the world come to visit, also as a sign of devotion and worship.
This is not the first time that we are meeting together here at Vatican Radio. And I remember that the last time that we had a chat, it was about your music. You were still a seminarian waiting to be ordained a priest.
Yes.
And that was as a member of the congregation that we have talked about of St. Mike or the Archangel, also known as the Michaelite Fathers. Some of our listeners have never heard of such a congregation. Would you tell us something about what this group of priests is and what their charism is all about?
Briefly, our congregation started with the Blessed Bronislaw Markiewicz, a Polish priest who was the novice of St. John Bosco in Turin. Actually, he was a Salesian priest who was the first one to take the congregation of the Salesian priests in Poland. And afterwards, after a little bit of some misunderstandings, he founded the society, which later became the Congregation of St. Michael, of course, on the footsteps and the charism of John Bosco, which is taking care of the youths. Hence, our charism is specifically taking care of the youths, especially those that are underprivileged. In Poland, our congregation is involved in education and promoting of vocations, especially in the minor seminary, amongst the youths.
You've said that you were founded in 1897, and from the look of things, the Michaelites have grown in size and numbers, but we can see that still they have not yet reached the continent of Africa. How did you discover them all the way from Africa? What made you join the Michaelites?
By the time I came to know about the congregation, I was already here in Italy with the congregation of the Franciscan Missionaries of Service. By then, I was doing my first year of philosophy, and we were going to the same school with the students from the Congregation of St. Michael. Hence, I came to make friendship with them, and they told me about their congregation, and I came to like what they told me about the congregation. Hence, inspired by that, I thought it would be good for me to join them and be part of that charism, especially in the education sector. Seeing that I like reading, understanding things, and share with others, I thought it would be the best of me, understanding something that is difficult for someone so that I can explain to them and simplify. In that way, I was thinking of myself as an educator.
I believe that the congregation is dominated by Europeans, and there might be just a few Africans, if not just you yourself alone. How do you find yourself among your white counterparts, your brothers, the priests and brothers in the congregation? How is life with the Michaelites?
Of course, in the congregation, we are two Zambians, and we are living in separate communities. In the community where I live, I don't find difficulties in interacting with the other brothers from Poland. Even if in the daily experience we encounter many challenges, otherwise I wouldn't complain that I have major difficulties in interacting with them. We are a good community, and I thank God I found this congregation and the community where I am right now. I'm happy about that.
Now, when you look back, are there moments when you would say that perhaps you'd do better in a different congregation other than being with the Michaelites? Are you happy as an African Michaelite?
Of course, I'm happy about that. And I can say that I don't have any aspiration of being in another congregation, seeing that at least with what I'm doing right now and the charism that I've accepted to follow, I don't lack in anything. Hence, I'm satisfied about that, and I've limited my aspiration just to fulfill what has been offered to me following that aspiration of serving the people in the education sector. But I believe being the priest, also talking to people about my faith and evangelization, is also part of education, and I'm content about that.
What are your general feelings about your priesthood in general, especially as a religious priest? When were you ordained, if you could also tell us that?
I was ordained in 2017 on 22nd April. Hence, this is my third year, 2 years past. My general feeling is that I don't regret being a Catholic priest and serving, as I believe, to be God's will for me, even if we always search for God's will in our daily experience. But otherwise, I don't regret being a Catholic priest.
You like to sing. That is obvious, and it can be seen. Anyone who sees you would know that you enjoy singing. But when did you discover that you had this talent of singing? And for how long have you been singing?
Publicly, I can say I've been singing for the past 10 years, because I also was part of the main choir in my parish before I entered into religious life. Actually, what made me join the main choir was that I liked playing the guitar. Hence, the only possibility to having access to playing the guitar was being part of the main choir. That was when I was about 14 years old, and attracted by playing the guitar in the main choir, I also started learning how to sing. And at times, I was not very good at singing, but I was very much open to learning from those that were already in the group. And I thank God that I had that opportunity. I discovered that it became part of me singing and playing the guitars.
Which place was this?
That was in my home parish in Ndeke village in Kitwe in Zambia.
You have put up a new album, not so?
Surely.
So what's the difference in message? What is the main message in the first one? And what is the message now that you want to talk to the people about?
In my first album, I've reflected about my life and my academic spiritual formation. Hence, I was commending myself in God's hands, asking Him to guide me, to protect me in all that I was doing. Hence, Munsunge actually means keep me, guide me in all that I'm doing, protect me from all that can disturb me in what I believe to be my mission, so that I concentrate very much on what I'm doing. In Munsunge, I've talked about myself concretely. In the second album, I've just picked it from where I ended, meaning I continued reflecting about my life and putting everything into God's hands. Into your hand, I put everything. Of course, I've reflected about my experience. Hence, I would like that I keep going, believing that God is always with me, and I put everything that I have as my personal project. I don't want that I follow my will, but I would like to follow God's will. Hence, if I have anything that is personally, I put it in God's hands.
That was Zambian-born Father William Mumbakachengwe in this part one of my chat with him about his musical talent and the priesthood. We shall hear more from Kachengwe in our program next week. Until then, my name is Kanyan Dagodifri Kambamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, we bring you two more reflections from young people on Pope Francis's post-synodal apostolic exhortation on the youth, Christus Vivit, and the findings of the latest report from the Mo Ibrahim Foundation, drawing the attention of African governments to the fall in the quality of education provided to young people. Pope Francis, in paragraph 221 of Christus Vivit, the document he wrote following last year's Synod on Young People, says schools are unquestionably a platform for drawing close to children and young people. In the subsequent paragraph, he notes that Catholic schools remain essential places for the evangelization of the young, and said accounts should therefore be taken of a number of guiding principles set forth in the Apostolic Constitution on Ecclesiastical Universities, Veritatis Gaudium. The Pope says these include a fresh experience of the kerygma or proclamation of the gospel, wide-ranging dialogue, interdisciplinary and cross-disciplinary approaches, the promotion of a culture of encounter, the urgency of creating networks, and an option in favor of those who are least, those whom society discards. Similarly important, writes the Pope, is the ability to integrate the knowledge of head, heart, and hands. A youth from Częstochowa in Poland commented on this aspect of youth ministry in educational institutions.
Hi, my name is Michał, I'm from Poland. And when I was thinking about what Pope Francis wrote in Christus Vivit about combining our heart, our head, and our hands together, I realized that this is what pilgrimage is about, exactly what pilgrimage is about. I'm from Częstochowa, which is the main pilgrimage site in my country, in Poland. But my pilgrimage starts during the preparation of Water Days in Krakow in 2016. Because there, Pope Francis asked us also to do one more thing. He asked us also to wear the pair of walking shoes. And I believe that when we combine all those together, our head, our heart, and our hands, and a pair of walking shoes, we can spread the gospel and be the sign that Christus is alive.
Raluca Cocut from Romania, on the other hand, comments on chapter 3 of Christus Vivit, which refers to the youth as the now of God.
I look around me, I look at my friends, and I see a great desire for them to be looked at with more confidence, more hope. Unfortunately, we often find attitudes that highlight our defects, that list our failings, like Pope Francis said. Such attitudes do not help us, and we need help. Although we live in a Christian environment, it's not easy for us to give testimony of our faith. Although the material wealth is growing, we don't find enough help to build our future in our country, so we choose to emigrate. We value the family seen through God's eyes, but we also face the persisting attempts of new ideologies. We feel that the church is a mother and takes care of us, and that it gives us the opportunity to grow. That's why we wish for more. We wish to be specifically involved in the decision-making process and, why not, to be given space in the structures of the church. This way, we will actually feel that we are not only the future of the church and of society, but we are the now of God.
Our apologies for the background noise on that recording. You can watch the two video episodes on our website, vaticannews.va. A survey compiled by the Mo Ibrahim Foundation suggests the quality of education provided by African countries has declined over the past 5 years. The Ibrahim Index of African Governance, the most comprehensive survey of its kind, found that the quality of education and training provided by African countries has worsened since 2014, leaving many of the continent's growing population of young people ill-prepared to enter the job market. The report released on Tuesday found that on average, enrollment and access to education was particularly low in the tertiary sector. The study predicted the problem would become more acute as the majority age group in Africa is now 15. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.